Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hi there, Herman and Corin. So I'm bringing you this prompt today from our living room, the same living room that you often reference in episodes. And I'm sitting underneath an air conditioner that is made by Elco. We have another one in the house called Electra, or is Elco an Electra brand? I think it's something like that. And this is an air conditioner that is smart, but it's a real pain. I think like everything that's smart and Wi-Fi in this apartment, it's proven enormously, strangely complicated to keep working. Zigbee, for anyone listening and into smart home, I remain a steadfast fan of Zigbee because it's been much, much more reliable. The stuff I connected on Zigbee just hasn't really given me any trouble since. Whereas the Wi-Fi stuff frequently, even if I keep the same network, I just move an access point, it drops, I have to repair it. And it's always a pain. So this is an annoying, finicky smart air conditioner product. But when I was trying to figure out, before we got the Wi-Fi working, and I was trying to use an infrared blaster, and when you use an infrared blaster, you kind of have to play a bit of detective if it doesn't pick it up straight away. You're a detective trying to figure out, what is this air conditioner? Now, you think that you could just look on the side of the air conditioner and see a product label, and you'd see it's the Elco E15, for example. And then with the amazing help that we get nowadays from ChatGPT and Gemini, we can actually find out a bit more than that. So when I was putting this into ChatGPT, it told me that this air conditioner that I thought was just Electra was actually a white-labeled Midia based upon its codes. A huge amount of the stuff that we see in Israel on the consumer shelves, if you scratch beneath the surface, you discover that they are white-labeled. There are a lot of kind of strange fridge brands that don't exist anywhere else in the world. And even within stuff that isn't white labeled, another thing I commonly see is product numbers that don't exist anywhere else. So I remember my HP laser printer has a product number that you need to find the right toner, and that only exists in Israel specifically. So my question is this: when you've got these big companies, you know, selling electronic components around the world, and I'm sure that for these companies, they think about geographies and millions and sales units in boats full. How is it that these local providers, what's the actual process there by which a local Israeli company, or you know, a local Kenyan company, or a local company anywhere in the world is able to, you know, find a supplier of a big appliance like an air conditioner or a refrigerator? And what does that process of white labeling actually involve? Does it literally just involve, you know, they get it off the ship, they put on their label and they call it a different product? It seems that the provenance is traceable, but it's a little bit harder for your average consumer to actually understand what it is that they're getting. But I find the concept that what we think about as an Israeli air conditioner brand is actually just, I think the company was traced to somewhere in the US, you know, in like Ohio or something, that is brought in and then converted, adapted a little bit, but fundamentally a foreign product. So I'd love to know about the world of OEM versus non-OEM white labeling and how it all works when we get consumer goods that seems like they're coming from a lot of small companies we've never heard of, but actually might all be coming from potentially even the same manufacturer. Herman and Corin, let's talk about OEMs versus non-OEMs, product white labeling, and the international distribution of electrical appliances.
You know, Herman, I was sitting in the living room earlier today, and I noticed Daniel was having a bit of a moment with the air conditioner. You know that specific look he gets? The one where he is staring at his phone, then back at the wall unit, then back at his phone with a look of pure, unadulterated betrayal.
Oh, I know that look well. It is usually followed by him asking if we have changed the Wi-Fi password again, or if the Zigbee gateway has decided to take a spontaneous vacation. Herman Poppleberry at your service, by the way. And yes, I saw him too. He was trying to get that Elco unit to talk to his smart home setup, and it was just not having it.
Exactly. And that frustration actually led him to send us today's prompt. He did some digging into why the software was being so finicky, and discovered something that blew his mind. Our local,
very Israeli branded Elko air conditioner, or at least his particular model, appears to be a white labeled product from a global giant called Midea. It got him thinking about this whole hidden world of white labeling and international distribution. How does a local brand in a relatively small market like ours find these global suppliers? And is it really just as simple as slapping a different sticker on the front? It is such a great question because it pulls back the curtain on how almost everything in our houses actually gets made. We live in this world of brand loyalty where people swear by their favorite appliance names, but the reality is that the global supply chain is much more of a funnel than most people realize. You might think you have 10 different choices for an air conditioner, but in reality, they might all be coming off the same 3 or 4 assembly lines in southern China. Midea, for instance, is one of the largest home appliance manufacturers in the world now. They don't just make their own stuff, they make the guts for everyone else.
It is the illusion of choice, in a way. But I want to dig into the mechanics of this. Daniel was mentioning that he saw similar things with his HP printer and even some of the fridges we see here. Why does this happen? Why doesn't a company like Midea just sell under their own name everywhere? And how does a local provider even initiate that relationship?
Well, to understand this, we have to look at the difference between an OEM, which is an original equipment manufacturer, and an ODM, which is an original design manufacturer. This is a distinction that most consumers never hear about, but it is the foundation of the electronics industry. An OEM builds a product based on a design provided by the customer. So, if Apple tells a factory exactly how to build an iPhone, that factory is the OEM. But an ODM, like Midea or Gree or Haier, they design the product themselves. They have the engineers, the patents, and the assembly lines. They say, here's a great air conditioner we designed. Who wants to buy 10,000 units and put their name on it?
So, in the case of Elko or Electro or any of these local brands, they are essentially shopping for a finished or near-finished product. But that brings me to the logistics. If I am a local business owner in Jerusalem and I want to start my own line of, say, high-end blenders, I can't just call up a factory and say, send me some blenders. How do these connections happen?
It usually starts at massive trade shows, the biggest of which is the Canton Fair in Guangzhou. It is essentially the center of the manufacturing universe. You have thousands of manufacturers showing off their latest ODM designs. A local distributor will walk through those halls, look at the specs, look at the build quality, and start negotiating. They are looking for a partner who can meet local regulations, which is a huge part of this. You can't just bring a Chinese air conditioner to Israel or the United States without making sure it meets the specific electrical standards, energy efficiency ratings, and even the type of refrigerant allowed by law.
That is a really important point. Especially now in January of 2026, the regulations around refrigerants have really tightened. We have moved into the big phase down of R410A in many markets, and a growing share of new systems are running on lower, GWP gases like R32 or R454B. These gases have a much lower climate impact than R410A, but they are also mildly flammable, which means systems have to follow new safety requirements, things like different charge limits, updated installation rules, and in some cases added leak detection or other protective features that weren't common 5 years ago.
Exactly. And that is where the white labeling process gets more complex than just a sticker. It is a collaborative engineering process. The local brand might say, we need this to work in a desert climate where the ambient temperature hits 45 degrees Celsius regularly. Or they might say, our market requires a specific type of HEPA filter that isn't standard in your base model. They might even request changes to the plastic casing to make it look more premium. And let's not forget the heart of the machine. Midea's subsidiary, GMCC, is the world's largest manufacturer of rotary compressors for residential air conditioners and refrigeration systems. So even if you buy a high-end Japanese brand, there's a good chance it has a Midea made.
And then there is the software. This brings us back to Daniel's frustration. The hardware might be a world-class Midea unit, but the app you use to control it is often just a skinned version of the manufacturer's base app, or worse, a local app that hasn't been updated since 2022. This is where things often fall apart. You have this incredible mechanical engineering, but the local distributor might not have the same level of expertise in software development. So you get these buggy, poorly translated apps that struggle to stay connected to the Wi-Fi.
It is the weakest link in the chain. And remember what we talked about in episode 286 regarding mesh networks? A lot of these white-labeled smart appliances use very cheap Wi-Fi modules to keep the cost down. They are often limited to the 2.4 GHz band, which is incredibly crowded. When you combine cheap hardware with mediocre local software, you get exactly the kind of headache Daniel was dealing with this morning.
I want to touch on the naming conventions too, because Daniel pointed out something really interesting. Why is it that we see these unique model numbers that only exist in one country? I have tried to look up parts for appliances before, and it is a nightmare. You find the model number on the back of your fridge, you type it into Google, and you get exactly zero results outside of your local region. Why the secrecy?
Oh, that is a very deliberate strategy called SKU masking. SKU stands for Stock Keeping Unit. By creating a unique model number for a specific region or even a specific retailer, companies can prevent easy price comparisons. If you go to a big box store and see a fridge with model number XYZ123, and then you go to a different store and see the exact same fridge but it is labeled ABC789, you can't easily prove they are the same product to get a price match. It is a way to protect the profit margins of the local distributors.
That feels a little bit deceptive, doesn't it? It is the same machine, but they are essentially hiding the identity to keep the price high.
It is definitely a point of friction for consumers. But from the manufacturer's perspective, it also helps with tracking. If there is a recall on a specific batch of compressors used in the Israeli market, having a unique model number makes it much easier to identify which units are affected. It also allows them to track which features are popular in which regions. Maybe the Israeli version has a special Sabbath mode programmed into the firmware, while the version sold in Greece does not. That difference alone justifies a new model number in their database.
That makes sense. The Sabbath mode is a great example of localizing a global product. It is a firmware tweak that adds massive value here, but would be irrelevant in most other parts of the world. But let's look at the relationship from the perspective of the giant manufacturer, like Midea. Why would they want to stay in the background? If they are the ones doing all the hard work of designing and building these machines, why let a local brand like Elko take the credit?
It is all about risk and market entry. Entering a new country is incredibly expensive. You have to set up a massive distribution network. You need warehouses, you need a fleet of delivery trucks, and most importantly, you need a massive marketing budget to build brand trust from zero. Or you can just sign a contract with a company that has been the household name in that country for 50 years. They already have the trust. They already have the relationships with the retailers. Midea gets to sell 100,000 units in a single contract without having to worry about how to explain their brand to a consumer in Tel Aviv or Jerusalem.
So it is a symbiotic relationship. Midea provides the scale and the engineering, and the local brand provides the last mile logistics and the cultural capital. But what happens when things go wrong? Daniel was talking about his HP printer having a model number that only exists here. If he needs a replacement part or a specific toner cartridge, is he stuck?
Often, yes. And this is the dark side of white labeling. If the local distributor decides to stop carrying that model, or if they go out of business, you are left with an orphan product. Even though there might be a million identical units sold under a different name in Europe, you might not be able to find the parts because the firmware or the physical connectors have been slightly altered for your local version. These local variations create these silos of compatibility that can be really frustrating for the end user.
It really highlights the importance of the right to repair movement. If we knew the true lineage of our products, we could find solutions more easily. If Daniel knew for a fact which Midea model his Elko unit was based on, he could potentially find firmware updates or community-made fixes that the local distributor hasn't bothered to release.
Exactly, and there are actually communities of people who do this. They look at the FCC ID numbers or the internal circuit board markings to trace the product back to its original parent. It is like a digital archaeology. You find a specific chip or a layout pattern that is a signature of a certain ODM, and suddenly the whole family tree opens up. You realize your microwave, your air conditioner, and your dishwasher all share the same DNA.
It is fascinating how much of our lives is built on these hidden handshakes between corporations. I want to shift gears slightly and talk about the actual process of getting these things from the factory in China to our living room. We're talking about massive appliances here. Shipping an air conditioner isn't like shipping a smartphone. The logistics must be a nightmare.
It is a game of volume and timing. When a local brand like Elko places an order, they aren't just buying the units. They are managing a massive international pipeline. We are talking about thousands of shipping containers moving across the ocean. One of the reasons white labeling is so popular is that it allows for consolidated shipping. A manufacturer can fill an entire cargo ship with units destined for various different brands in the same region. This drives down the cost of shipping per unit to a level that a smaller, independent manufacturer could never dream of.
And I imagine the lead times are huge. They probably have to decide what they want to sell next summer in the middle of this winter.
At least 6 to 9 months in advance, usually. They have to predict the weather, the economic climate, and the technological trends. If they guess wrong and order 50,000 units of an air conditioner that doesn't have the latest smart features, they are stuck with millions of dollars of inventory that nobody wants. This is why you see such a rush to add features like Wi-Fi and voice control, even if they aren't perfectly implemented. It is a checkbox that they have to hit to stay competitive in the eyes of the retailers.
Which brings us back to the software problem. If the focus is just on hitting that checkbox for the marketing materials, the actual quality of the user experience becomes an afterthought. It is a classic case of the incentives being misaligned. The manufacturer wants to sell containers. The local brand wants to hit their sales targets. And the consumer just wants their AC to turn on when they get home from work.
And this is where the smart home landscape in 2026 is getting really interesting. We are seeing more of these global manufacturers starting to realize that their software is a liability. Some of them are beginning to adopt global standards like MatterNow into its later 1.x releases, which we have discussed before. If the underlying hardware speaks a universal language, then it doesn't matter as much if the local distributor's app is terrible. You can just plug it into your own preferred ecosystem and it just works.
That would be a huge win for people like Daniel. It would essentially decouple the hardware from the local branding. You buy the Elko for the local warranty and the installation service, but you control it with whatever software you want. That feels like the ideal middle ground.
We are getting there, but there is still a lot of resistance. Local brands like having that walled garden because it gives them data. They want to know when you are using your AC, what temperature you prefer, and when you might be in the market for a new one. Data is the new refrigerant, corn. It is what keeps the whole system running.
That is a scary thought. I prefer my refrigerant in gas form, thank you very much. But it makes sense. The white labeling isn't just about the physical product anymore. It is about the digital relationship. When you buy a white labeled product, you are often entering into a data sharing agreement with two different companies, one of which you might not even know exists.
It is the hidden cost of convenience. But let's look at the positives. Without this system, appliances would be significantly more expensive. The economies of scale that Midea and Gree provide are what make air conditioning affordable for the average household. If every local brand had to design and build their own compressors from scratch, the cost would be astronomical. We are benefiting from the most efficient manufacturing machine in human history.
It is a trade-off. We get lower prices and more features, but we lose transparency and sometimes repairability. It is a complex web. I'm curious, Herman, do you think we will ever see a move back toward more transparency? Or is this the way the world works now?
I think we are seeing a split. On one hand, you have the ultra-cheap, white-labeled goods that will always exist. But on the other hand, you have a growing segment of consumers who are willing to pay a premium for what I call provenance. They want to know exactly who made their product, where it came from, and how long it will be supported. You see this with companies like Framework in the laptop space or some of the high-end appliance brands that take pride in their vertical integration.
It is almost like the artisanal movement, but for electronics. People want to know the story behind the object, and when this story is just, it came out of a giant factory in China, and we stuck a label on it. That is not a very compelling narrative for a premium product.
Exactly. But for a mid-range air conditioner that just needs to keep your bedroom cool in August? Most people don't care about the story, they care about the price and the warranty. And as long as those two things are right, the white labeling machine will keep on humming.
It is a fascinating look at the hidden architecture of our homes. I think the next time I look at any appliance, I am going to be searching for those hidden clues, looking for the telltale signs of a global manufacturer hiding behind a local face.
It is a fun game to play. Check the remote controls, too. Often, three or four different brands will use the exact same remote control because it is a standard ODM part. If the remote for your AC looks identical to the remote for your friend's AC, even if the brands are different, you have found a common ancestor.
I'll have to tell Daniel that. He can go on a mission to find all the siblings of our air conditioner. It might make him feel better to know he is not alone in his Wi-Fi struggles. There are probably thousands of people all over the world staring at the exact same app interface, feeling the exact same frustration.
There is a certain comfort in globalized frustration, I suppose. We are all connected by the same buggy code and the same efficient compressors.
Well, on that note, I think we have given Daniel and our listeners a lot to think about the next time they go appliance shopping. It is not just about the name on the front. It is about the massive, invisible network that put it there.
And hey, if you are enjoying these deep dives into the weird world of technology and logistics, we would really appreciate it if you could leave us a review on your favorite podcast app. It genuinely helps other curious people find the show, and we love hearing from you.
It really does make a difference. We are coming up on episode 300 soon, and we couldn't have done it without this community. So, thank you for listening to My Weird Prompts.
You can find all our past episodes and a way to get in touch with us at our website, myweirdprompts.com. And of course, we are on Spotify and everywhere else you get your podcasts.
Thanks again to Daniel for sending in this prompt from our living room. I'm going to go see if I can help him with that Wi-Fi connection. Or more likely, I will just tell him to use the physical buttons and call it a day.
The physical buttons never fail, Korn. They are the ultimate low-tech solution in a high-tech world. Until next time, I am Herman Poppleberry.
And I am Korn. Stay curious, everyone.
Goodbye.
See ya.
You know, I actually have a collection of old appliance remotes in a drawer somewhere. I should see how many of them are actually compatible with each other. It could be a whole new hobby.
Please don't, Herman. We already have enough clutter in this house. Let's just stick to the podcast.
Fine, fine. But the offer stands if anyone wants to trade a Gree remote for a hire.
We are leaving now. Goodbye.
Plug it in.
Seriously, Herman, no more remotes.
I'm just saying, the infrared protocols are fascinatingly consistent.
I'm turning off the mic now.
Wait, did I mention the R32 gas transition? It is actually quite a significant engineering challenge because it is slightly flammable compared to the old R410A.
Herman, we already talked about the refrigerant.
But the safety protocols for the technicians. They had to get entirely new training and equipment. It is not just about the environment, it is about the whole service ecosystem changing.
That is actually interesting. But let's save it for a dedicated episode on the history of cooling. We've been talking for almost 25 minutes.
You're right. I get carried away. It's just the way these systems interact is so complex.
It is. And that's why we do the show. But even the best shows have to end.
True. All right, I'm done. For real this time.
Good. Now let's go find Daniel. I think I heard him shouting at the dishwasher.
Oh boy. If that's a white-labeled Midea too, we might have a long afternoon ahead of us.
Don't even joke about it.
I'm not joking. Midea is a major global manufacturer of dishwashers as well as other appliances.
As let's just go. Let's just go.
Okay.
This has been My Weird Prompts. We'll be back next week.
Stay cool. Or warm, depending on your local white label climate control settings.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.